ராமாய ராமபத்ராய ராமச்சந்திராய வேதசே ரகுநாதாய நாதாய சீதாய பதே நமஹ. பாலகாண்ட் சாப்டர் நம்பர் 60, தி ட்ரையம்ப் ஆஃப் விஸ்வாமித்ரா. Having thus annihilated by the might of his tapas Mahodaya and the sons of Vasishtha, Vishwamitra turned to the assembled sages and said, "Behold the sign of the royal rays of Ikshvaku, known to man as Trishanku. Firm are his feet on the path of righteousness, and he is a great giver of gifts. Above all, he has sought refuge with me. For great is his desire to ascend to the worlds of the gods in his body of flesh. You and I will so conduct a sacrifice for him that he may go away from amongst us, his heart yearnings gratified to the full." The sages heard him out and took counsel amongst themselves. "This, our host, the sage Vishwamitra, the proud descendant of the Kushikas, is the very fountain of wrath. We must do even as he says, else he will verily consume us with his curses. Far be it from us, then, to do anything that might draw his lightning upon us. Now, let us lose no time in commencing the sacrifice, which shall, thanks to the immeasurable might of Vishwamitra, raise Trishanku aloft to the seat of the gods, even in his earthly body. Betake we each to our respective duties." And so the long-delayed sacrifice commenced under no very favorable auspices. Vishwamitra, assuming himself the responsible post of the Advaryu, while his brother sages went about their duties without a fault, without a hitch, as ordained by the Book of Rules. Then, in due course, the Vishwamitra of dread puissance called upon the Shining Ones to come down to the sacrifice and receive their shares of offerings, once, twice, and thrice. But the Lords of Light came not, though invoked time and oft. What sacrifice is this, in which a Kshatriya, all unqualified, sacrifices for a wretch, cursed by the Lord Vasishtha, to be a foul chandala? And shall we even respond to the unholy call and defile ourselves for all time by partaking of the offerings therein? A storm of wrath shook the proud frame of Vishwamitra, and raising aloft the sacrificial ladle, did he cry in a terrible voice, "Trishanku, my son, let be this rite on which you rest your hopes. Behold what my hard-earned tapas can do. I shall, out of my innate energy, raise you to the skies, even where the haughty gods have their abode, and that in this very body you now wear. No easy task for others, see you. There yet remains to me unexpended some of the might which I have acquired by long austerities, stern and holy. And by the force of that, ascend, Trishanku, to the bright homes of the angels of light in this very body of yours." No sooner were the words out of his mouth than the sages assembled beheld a wonderful sight, nay, a miracle, and Trishanku rose aloft from this dull earth right up towards the radiant worlds of the celestials in the dark and degraded form of the chandala. But Indra, the lord of the immortals, saw him, the unworthy one, advancing to take his place among them, and voicing the unspoken resolve of the gods, "Back, back, Trishanku," cried he, "sooner than you came. You have no place here among us. Fool that you are, see you not the black curse of your guru dragging you down? Fall thou headlong among the patient bosom of Mother Earth, who groans beneath the weight of your sin." And Trishanku, hurled head downward from the high heavens, cried out in heartrending tones of agonized entreaty, "Save me, oh save me, my Lord Vishwamitra, my only savior." The cry pierced him to the heart and roused him to a pitch of ungovernable fury. "Stay where thou art, stay, I command thee," cried he, and Trishanku stood in mid-air as if petrified. Then, seated as he was in the midst of his fellow sages, did he, like any other Brahma, proceed to evolve a new creation. "Lo, my Trishanku shall be the pole star of my new system. Another constellation of the seven rishis, that is the Ursa Major, shall revolve around him, And beyond these, another circle of lunar asterisms. He spoke, and in the south, there rose a grand system of the worlds, the counterpart of that is in the north. But his rage would not stop there, and he continued, My new world, it shall have another Indra over it. But stay, methinks it were better without one. The very name is hateful to me. Why, Trishanku, my son, shall be its lord, and shall outshine that wretch of an Indra who dared to stand against my will. And forthwith he set about to fashion another creation of the various celestial hierarchies. Then mighty fear seized the hearts of the gods, the asuras, and the sages at this undreamt of and awful display of power, almost divine, and with humble entreaties and low, they approached the irate sage at their wits' end, almost, how to accomplish the hopeless task of charming his wounded pride with words. Mighty one, this king, your protege, is not entitled to a place among us. Our bright worlds are for such of the twice-born as are unsullied and pure, whereas Trishanku, holy as he is, lives under the inexorable curse of his guru, the all-powerful Vasishtha. And who knows it better than you? Now Vishwamitra's heart was glad and his anger pacified somewhat, for were not the proud gods at his feet who a little while ago had the temerity to brave his anger and would not come when called? But his iron will would not yield, nay, not so much as a hair breadth. Peace be unto you, cried he, for this was the only sign he gave of any reconciliation towards his haughty foes. My word has passed to Trishanku, the king here, that he shall, in this body of his, ascend to your worlds, and it shall never prove otherwise. Since you will not receive him of your own accord, I have no other god, then make my word good anyhow, the method's not very pleasant to you. Where Trishanku now is, there shall be a world of the gods, and the stars and the constellations created by me, as also the orders of heavenly powers, shall continue to exist to the day of the great dissolution. May I hope that you will accord, out of your pleasure, your consent to this arrangement, to which perforce I am driven by dire necessity? What could they do, the gods, foiled by the terrible might of Vishwamitra? They made the best of a bad bargain and gave in with a good grace. It shall be even as you desire. Your stars, your constellations, and the various orders of the celestial beings shall endure forever, even as the existing solar system, but outside the Vaishravana path, the zodiac. These shall ever revolve around the fortunate Trishanku, radiant as the gods and as happy as they, but he shall hang head downwards as a living reminder of the awful sacrilege of setting aside the words of a spiritual teacher. In other respects, his fame shall illuminate all the worlds as falls to the lot of no mortal. Be it so, Vishwamitra gave glad assent, while the gods and the sages assembled, lauded to the skies the righteous sage of superhuman power. The sacrifice was completed. Vishwamitra placed another person in Trishanku's stead, and this time the gods failed not to come down and partake of the offerings. The shining ones and the sages of high spiritual fervor departed to their respective abodes, well pleased. Mangalam Kaushalendraya Mahaniya Gunapti Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhaumaya Mangalam.